Good evening. It's good to see everybody out this evening, and it's good to be back with you as always, and I always enjoy getting the opportunity to speak. This evening, our lesson is going to be coming from John chapter 8. John chapter 8, and it's a very simple subject. Very simple, but it also gets twisted. And I want to, and I've entitled Truth is the title to the lesson this evening. John chapter 8 and verse 32. John chapter 8 and verse 32. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You know, millions of dollars are spent every year by the American people to learn the truth. We send men to outer space to find the truth. You know, there's life on other planets. Is the moon made of cheese? You know, different kinds of things. And also, man wants to know the truth about cancer. What's the cause of it? What is its cure? They're still searching. Also, man wants to know the truth about mathematics and science and chemistry and medicines, different kinds of things. They're still searching for truth. But what we know is we've been given the truth that we need to survive. And that's the truth, the Bible. The Bible is truth. So what is truth? Well, the Word of God. The Word of God is truth. In John chapter 17 and verse 17, John 17 and verse 17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Ephesians 1 and verse 13. Ephesians 1 and verse 13. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believe in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Truth. When you hear these words, truth, the word of God, the gospel, all these words, all these will make us free. They will make us free. The truth can be tampered with, and it has been. Some will tell you all you have to do is believe, you'll be saved. Some will tell you all you need to say is the sinner's prayer. Nowhere is that found in the Bible. That's not scriptural. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Acts 2 and verse 38, and Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We know that water is essential to be saved. It's essential, and that's what baptism is essential to be saved. How do we know this? Well, we have the whole book of Acts, but I want us to look at Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch. Acts chapter 8, verses 36 through 38. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And they came up out of the water. Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing, which the eunuch had a lot to rejoice. He had a lot to rejoice for. But he said there in verse 36, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized? We are the only ones that get in our way of being obedient. We get in our own way. We stop ourselves from doing what we should be doing. But the whole book of Acts it will help us. The whole book of Acts, we can't ignore baptism. Baptism is mentioned several times in the whole book of Acts. So what will this truth do for man? What will this truth do for man? Well, number one, we said it earlier, it's going to set him free. It's going to set him free. Well, you ask the question, free from what? Well, the guilt of sin and the service of sin. Number two, the truth will sanctify him. sanctify him, to set apart for the use of God. When we become a child of God, we are servants in his kingdom. We must put our talents to use. There are those who leave their talents hidden and put them and not put them to use. But let's not let our talents go to waste. Let's use them. God needs workers. We don't want to be found wicked and lazy. And John, and as we read earlier, John 17:17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Also, the truth purifies him. The truth purifies him. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. To purify means to remove contaminants from or to make clean. We are purified through our baptism. Our baptism washes us clean. And then when we are baptized, Jesus' blood continually washes us clean as long as we repent for things that we've done so we can get back on track. The truth protects him. The truth protects him. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. Ephesians 6 and verse 14. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. We must keep the truth close to our hearts and not stray from it. The belt of truth protects us. It holds things in place. The truth is to be obeyed. Truth is to be obeyed. Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. Romans 6 and verse 17. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. We obey from the heart. But our heart can be deceived. It can be deceived. We must guard our hearts and keep them pure and away from evil. God has given us the choice to obey or not. One way leads us to heaven, the other eternal punishment. You know, I don't know about you, but I choose heaven. I choose heaven. And you know, Joshua said it best in Joshua 24:15, probably one of my favorite verses, but I have many. But choose this day who you will serve. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. We get that choice. We get the choice how we're going to live. God will lead us the way we need to go. A second thing, some choose to obey unrighteousness. Some choose to obey unrighteousness. Romans chapter 2 and verse 8. Romans 2 and verse 8. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. What's sad is you can have any belief that you want. You know, we hear it all the time, is there are many ways that will get you to heaven. You know, if we are seeking a congregation that allows instrumental music in worship, you can find it. We have them. And that's even amongst the churches of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Also, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. If our foundation is not built on Jesus Christ, then we don't have a foundation. We don't have a foundation. We sing a song sometimes. I know that we sing this with our teens, and the song goes like this. Precious cornerstone, sure foundation, you are faithful to the end. We are waiting on you, Jesus. We believe you're all to us. And the chorus says, let the glory of your name be the passion of the church. Let the righteousness of God be a holy flame that burns. Let the saving love of Christ be the measure of our lives. We believe you're all to us. Our foundation is built on Christ. If we choose unrighteousness, it won't get us to heaven. It might bring us happiness for just a little while, but it won't get us to heaven. Third thing this evening, some choose to deceive about doing the truth. Some choose to deceive about doing the truth. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. The main thing is that we must be truthful with God and we must be truthful with ourselves. We can only have fellowship if we are practicing righteous things. Psalm 5 and verse 8. Psalm 5 and verse 8. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your paths straight for me. Psalm 37 and verse 6. Psalm 37 and verse 6. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Righteousness is light. As long as we continue to walk righteously, then we will be in the light. When we stray away from the truth, we walk in darkness. Fourth thing. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8. Inflaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. If we know what we must do to be saved, we need to take care of that today. Don't delay. Don't put it off. You know, so many put things off, procrastinate, think, I'll take care of that later. Well, there may not be a later. We need to take care of that today. You could be like Felix. He didn't want to obey at that time, so he didn't. He did not want to obey the gospel at that opportune time. We sometimes live like we're invincible and we're going to live forever. I'm here to tell you that's not true. It's not true. We get one chance at this life, and we better make the best of our opportunities. We have to, you know, if we're not living right, if you're not living right, you can change that today. You can change it today. No one can change it but you. No one can change it but you. It's a decision that you have to make for yourself. All we can do is present the gospel to those who want to hear it. That's our duty, and leave results to God. Another thing, error is often taught under the appearance of truth. Error is often taught under the appearance of truth. This is one of the hardest truths to get the religious world to see. And number one, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. They're deprived of truth. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words, which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. We definitely need to watch out for this kind of a person. This is why we must search the scriptures to check out if things are true. This is how things can go south, and it can go south real fast if we allow it. We must stand for the truth. And if this issue comes up, we must handle it delicately. We must handle it delicately as possible. That way there's no confusion amongst members and others. We must be approachable. We must be approachable as well. We are humans, and we make mistakes. And it's okay to be corrected. That means someone cares for you. We must not let pride get in our way of seeing our error. Second thing, we're swerved from the truth. Swerved from the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 18. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 18. Who have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened, they are upsetting the faith of some. God is not the author of confusion. It doesn't take long for man to mess the truth up. We can't go wrong if we stick to the scriptures and not with opinions. Opinions will get us in trouble if we aren't careful. In a Bible study, when someone asks a question, we should say, well, let's see what the Bible says on that subject. Because the easy thing is to say, well, this is what I believe or this is what I think. But we should say, let's see what the Bible says on this subject. Instead of spouting off opinions. You can't argue with Scripture. You can't argue with Scripture. Third thing, we need to be always learning. Always learning. Always learning and never able. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 7. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 7. Always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Never at any age should we think we know everything. There's always something for us to learn. We must be willing to search scriptures for answers. And then we also must be ready to give an answer. Some have thought they know everything about the Bible. Must learn all that we can so we can go and teach others of the way. We are preparing the next generation to carry on the work of the church. We are preparing them. It's hard to believe that some churches of Christ will shut their doors because of attendance being low. Their attendance aren't where it used to be. But they're shutting. Some have shut their doors already. And if not, you know, I've always heard it said, if you're not growing, you're dying. And that's true. We must be growing. Years ago, we've had thriving congregations. You know, if you get to thinking about it, you know, where was each congregation 20 to 30 years ago? Many of them had a bunch of people. Churches were full. But we must remember those things, and we hope to one day get to back. It would be great to fill this building. Don't know about you, but I would love to do that. I would love to fill the building. I want us to think about how different people have reacted to the truth. How people have reacted to the truth. Well, I couldn't help but think of the day at Pentecost. Number one, the day at Pentecost. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. Acts 2 and 41. For those who received his word were baptized and were added that day about 3,000 souls. There were also those who walked away, though. We're not told, but there surely there was more than 3,000 there, but they and did not obey the gospel that day. Number two, Romans. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Romans 6, verses 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we, who died to sin, still live in it? This is where baptism comes in. When we come up out of the water, we are washed clean. Sins are wiped out. We get a fresh start. What a wonderful way to start life. Number three. The church is to support the truth. The church is to support the truth. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. If I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth. We must be set apart from the world. The world needs to see that there's something different about us. If we know the truth, we must support the truth. We must support it and back it. Another thing this evening, some have become mad about the truth. Some have become mad. Let's look at Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7 and verse 54. And this is the stoning of Stephen. But what was Stephen doing? He was preaching. He's preaching the gospel here. Now, when they heard these things, they were enraged and they ground their teeth at him. All he was doing was preaching the truth. That's all he was doing. Some don't like hearing the truth. It's not about what we like. It's about our obedience to God's word. Some will get angry because it's hard to accept the truth, especially if you go many years being taught in error. It gets hard. It's hard to admit that you're wrong. But if we are showed in Scripture, then we need to change our thought process. Some have resisted the truth. Some have resisted the truth. Number one, let's look at non-members. Non-members. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 8. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth. Men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. It's sad, but there are people like this. There are people like this, and it's sad, but we must remember that they are souls, and maybe in time they will get back to the truth. But it's up to us to teach that truth. Some just live how they want and don't go to, they may not go to church services, they may not read their Bibles. Some may not even believe in God. Things can happen in a person's life that can change their way of thinking. They may not see that God is working in their life. Or maybe they lost someone close to them. And we hear that question often. Why do bad things happen to good people? And I don't think any of us really have the answer. But it's, it's a good question. And I believe Job can answer that for us. Job can answer that for us. Job's a good example to follow in this matter. Job lost everything, his family, his cattle, the things that he had, but he got it back. And not only he lost everything, he was struck with boils. He was struck with boils. But he got everything back and never once blamed God. He just saw everything through. He was better off than he was before. We give up too easily. We give up too easily. We trust ourselves more than we trust God. Second thing, let's talk about Christians. Christians. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 4. 2 Timothy 4 verse 4. And will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Well, I wonder if we are already there at this point. There's often, I wonder if we're there. You know, this pandemic, it has not helped us in getting our attendance back to where it was before. And it put a damper on things. And hopefully our attendance will get better over time. But we must work on inviting. We still have work to do. We mustn't allow the pandemic to be an excuse for not doing our job, doing our duties. Some have erred from the truth. Some have erred from the truth. James chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. James 5, verses 19 and 20. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Some will walk away from the truth. Some will walk away. But maybe one day we'll come back. What do? Well, we welcome them with open arms and rejoice if they get to that point. But we also must keep in mind some may not come back. Some may not come back. There is God's truth on every subject. There's God's truth on every subject. First thing is church membership. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 and 47. In verse 41, about 3,000 souls were added. And then verse 47, the Lord added to the number day by day. The Lord added to the number. We're not voted on to become a member. That's not even scriptural. The Lord adds you to the church when you obey the gospel. When you are baptized, the Lord adds you to the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. Okay, let's talk about baptism. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and 19, very familiar verses. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Also, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, "Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins." Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, "We are buried with him in baptism into death, we too might walk in newness of life." Ephesians 4 and verse 5, "One Lord, one faith, one baptism." In closing this evening, the ultimate end of truth. Well, it will save some. Truth will save some, not everyone. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. "But we ought to always to give thanks to God for you, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth." Well, and it also, the truth condemns others, will condemn others. John chapter 12, verse 48. John 12, verse 48. "The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day." And then 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12. "In order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Living in sin has no pleasure in the end. We must be dead to sin and alive in Christ. This evening, the lesson is yours. If you haven't become a child of God and haven't put Christ on in baptism, or if you are a Christian and you've walked away from God, you've walked away from the truth, whatever your need is, make it be made known as we stand and sing the invitation song.